This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So Wayne Rooney still looking for his first win as Birmingham City manager, and it's a pretty tough test that's coming up as Sunderland take on Birmingham at the Stadium of Light. And today I'm joined by Paddy from Roker Report. How are you doing, Paddy?
Hi, mate. Yeah, all good. Not too bad. Just, looking forward to another interesting championship game, which I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be back and forth. And Sunderland at the moment, eighth in the championship. Tony Mowbray's manager, having had a playoff campaign last season, coming up from League One. How would you assess the season so far?
It's been, I think, probably describing it as a mixed bag is probably a fair assessment. So far this season, we've had a 4-game winning streak and then followed up quite soon after by a 3-game losing streak. I think that probably best sums up the way the season's been going. Overall, I mean, I'm pretty pleased. In that 3-game losing streak, one of those defeats was 1-0 to Leicester. In a game where, you know, we actually played some really good football, and at full time it was a case of, it's actually a bit frustrating that we haven't got anything out of that. So that was, you know, that was kind of one of these win defeats where you see it as a positive, really. It's been up and down. I think we're gradually starting to kind of find out our best team and the best way to play. So hopefully that won't take too much longer to really sort of gel in and fix together, really.
Because it's ruthless in the championship, isn't it? You sort of have a few off games and you just see your team like slide down the table. And it's one of the things where Sunderland perhaps didn't have the best of starts, but then really sort of found that form. You said, you know, having them wins in a row and then all of a sudden you could be sort of back down the league again. So, where do you sort of assess like where you are at the moment, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the league is ruthless. I think where we are at the minute, you know, we're obviously on the fringes of the playoffs. That's probably about where we deserve to be. I think the form's kind of evened out. I think, you know, there was some, you know, before the season started, maybe some optimism that we could maybe kick on to and kind of worry those automatic places. But as the season's gone on, you know, I mean, you look at the teams with the budgets and the teams who've come down from the Premier League, and, you know, obviously, Leeds had a bit of a shaky start, so did Southampton, but, you know, they both seem to have clicked now. And obviously, then you've got Ipswich, who everyone kind of keep on, you know, they keep on saying this enigma, but you've got to give them credit. Like, they're just playing some really good stuff at the minute. And, I mean, I'm probably a little bit jealous because it's like, oh, you know, we came up from League One last year. We came sixth, which was a brilliant finish. Obviously, they're doing one better and, you know, they've just been brilliant to watch so far. But yeah, it seems it's probably fair where we are. I think we've been brilliant in some games. A couple of games we've been bang average, probably a compliment saying it's bang average. So yeah, I think, you know, heading into, you know, we're almost at another international break, I think we're pretty much where we should be, really, I think.
Yeah. And you speak about sort of the performances throughout the season. A lot of the team from Sunderland's team last season have actually stayed, haven't they, apart from obviously Amad Diallo being like a big miss for Sunderland. But in terms of sort of the transfer strategy going forward, who have you sort of signed this summer, would you say, to sort of look out for the game on Saturday?
I mean, obviously, we signed a few strikers. We signed four in the summer. So looking to see which one of those gets set up. The last couple of games, we've had it's a Ukrainian striker called Nazari Rusin. He's not strictly an out-and-out centre-forward. He's more of a, well, he likes to drift out wide, but he likes to kind of drift across the front line, really. So we've certainly played a different style of football with him on the pitch because, you know, he's that floating sort of, not too much target, but like someone to give the ball to and then, you know, have our midfielders kind of come around and help him out, really. So, I mean, I think he'll be in for his third start in a row, I think, because, I mean, Tony Mowbray's kind of suggested that his position as the striker in the starting lineup is kind of his to lose at the minute. So yeah, I'd probably say he's the one from the summer who's, you know, want to kind of stand out. Other than that, a lot of the team is kind of the team which got us into the playoffs last year, really. I mean, obviously got Jack Clark, Patrick Roberts, Neil Ekwa, you know, a lot of our team is pretty much the kind of main 11 we had last season, other than obviously, you know, you mentioned Ahmad Diallo there. He's the big sort of he's the big missing piece sort of thing in that starting lineup. But yeah, I think in terms of who was signed in the summer, I think Rusin and speaking, obviously Mowbray had his press conference today. He mentioned the fourth striker who we signed in the summer, and he got injured in his first training session, so we've not seen him yet. He's called Elisa Mayenda. He's a Spanish under-18 striker. He's been getting lots of praise from Mowbray. It sounds like he's going to be at least on the bench on Saturday, so that's going to be quite exciting because, you know, we've heard a lot of really positive things about him and haven't had a chance to see him yet. So, yeah, I think we'll, unlike when you played us last season, we'll actually have some strikers, which will be quite a nice change because, obviously, we went through so much of last season kind of just playing attacking midfielders and, you know, getting good results from that. But no, I think it's time we looked at sort of getting the best out of our strikers now, I think.
Even without the strikers last season, you managed to do a double over us. So God knows what you're going to be like with strikers. In terms of, signings that made this summer, one obviously coming from Birmingham being Joe Bellingham. Sort of looked into a bit of how he's been playing this season, sort of the minutes that he's got. And he's actually started every championship game, getting both of his goals against Rotherham in a home victory. So how would you sort of assess the performances of Bellingham so far? Because Birmingham fans are obviously interested to see how he's doing and how he's getting on.
Yeah, well, he's been brilliant, to be honest. I did think from the offset, I didn't think he'd quite come into the starting lineup as quickly as he did. But obviously, you know, first game of the season, he's, you know, he's in the team sheet. You know, he's been really good. I mean, he doesn't play like someone who's, you know, 17, 18. He plays with so much more maturity. And, you know, he's just, he gives us a whole different sort of dimension because obviously a lot of our success comes from out wide and obviously particularly Jack Clark this season, obviously, you know, to a lesser extent kind of Abdullah Bar and Patrick Roberts on the right-hand side. But to have someone kind of with his sort of pace, power and just generally good football and brain down the middle, it's brilliant, you know what I mean? He makes things happen, you know what I mean? Playing in front of our two centre mids, he gets a lot of protection. You know, he has the freedom of not having to worry too much about always tracking back defensively when we have our two starting centre mids fit and available. So, yeah, he's been getting a lot of flexibility in that position, he's been very good. You know, I had pretty high expectations, but you know, I didn't want to kind of, you know, I don't think we really want to put too much pressure on him. You know, obviously come in and, you know, I think everyone says like, you know, he wants to be more than just Jude Bellingham's brother. And to be fair, he's making a great name for himself. You know, obviously now he goes by Job. Obviously on the back of his shirt, he has Job rather than Bellingham. And obviously, yeah, I mean, he's making a name for himself with his own name and he's really good to watch. And yeah, it's one of these where I don't really know how long we'll have him because I don't think it's going to be very long at all. I think just try and enjoy him this season, really, then whatever happens in the summer happens. But yeah, he's a brilliant footballer and he's one who he's improved our team massively.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Because it's one of the things with Joba Birmingham, where he was always going to be compared to his brother because of the impact that he made in the Birmingham shirt. And it was always going to be a thing where he kind of struggled to sort of adapt to not being sort of just, as you said, like Jude Bellingham's brother and being his own person. So the fact he's wearing Joe when he's back and he's playing so well for Sunderland, I think that's a massive positive and good luck to him. And two other people that actually followed Jude Bellingham, well, they actually arrived to Sunderland before Jude Bellingham did, but Christian Speakman and Mike Dodds, who are now part of the Sunderland setup, with Dodds being academy manager and Speakman working in the board. So what impact have them two had since joining Sunderland?
I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say that Speakman especially has revolutionised kind of the way we operate, like on the pitch as a football club. You know, he's helped us to adopt this new model of going out and, you know, scouting some of these brilliant young players from across Europe and further afield and then just developing them into brilliant footballers. I mean, you know, I think last year the average starting lineup of some of our match day teams, it was like not even 22 and a half years old. And, you know, this season, I mean, we've got obviously Bellingham, who's, you know, just turned 18. We've got another exciting academy prospect, Chris Rigg, who's still 16. You know, he's off at the under-17s World Cup for England. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Mike Dodds as well. I mean, it's been, they've been a real key part in the last few years of just absolutely just changing the way we operate in terms of transfers and in terms of kind of integrating the youth sides with the starting 11, because the way it kind of works now is that, you know, we've got that many young players who are first team players that, you know, they can obviously qualify to play for the under 21s during the week. So it's like they're always getting minutes. And I mean, that, we know that we're seeing a lot of success from that. And obviously what, you know, the some of the transfers we've signed, I mean, you know, we'll sign players and it's just kind of, you know, nobody's ever heard of them. But like, that doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to be any good, because, you know, we're kind of, it's got the point now where like Speakman's, he's earned a lot of trust and respect from the fan base. Because obviously, you know, we went through a time of just spending so much money on, it's like players who you'd heard of, but were bang average. And it was just, you know, just complete waste of money. I mean, the best example I can give was the kind of panic signing of Will Grigg a few years back, where it's like we sold our top scorer and then it got a deadline day and it's like we need a replacement. So we went and spent, I think it was a couple of million on Will Grigg. And I think he got like 5 goals in 50 games or something. So I mean, those days are well behind us. And yeah, I mean, what those two are doing as part of like our new kind of model, as we all love to say, it's brilliant. I mean, it's a steady process. I think we did overachieve last year because no one really expected us to get playoffs. I mean, I'd have been perfectly comfortable with about 15th or 16th just to kind of get up and stay up. But I mean, you know, the work, what they did to get us to be a solid, you know, very good championship team, it's been brilliant. And yeah, I'm just hoping that continues long into the future.
Because I don't think at Birmingham that Mike Dodds and Christian Speakman were properly allowed to do what they wanted to do because of the old ownership, because they had so much control, almost like a sort of suffocating control on what happened with transfers and youth setup and everything. So the fact they're doing well at Sunderland is brilliant to see as well. And touched on the Will Griggs story, I do actually remember watching that on Sunderland Till I Die.
Yeah.
Seeing, like, you know, the whole panic in the boardroom about, you know, what we're going to do. We need a striker, it's deadline day. And I'm sure Birmingham fans can recall many moments where we signed players on deadline day and just absolutely panicked. So it happens to a lot of clubs, but it tends to be that, you know, clubs like Birmingham and Sunderland, who have had history in the Premier League, sort of drop down to the Championship, trying to sort of get back up. And they're just trying to splash the cash on whoever to try and get him back up there. But kind of links on to my next question about sort of when Birmingham and Sunderland were both used to be in the Premier League, sort of like Premier League days. What are your sort of memories of Birmingham and Sunderland playing each other before?
I can remember the games were usually pretty close. I think I know we went through a stage of we'd win at Sunderland and then you'd beat us down at St Andrews. Yeah, I remember that being a bit of a back and forth for a while. I remember one of the best memories for me, this was when we had Roy Keane as manager, so going way back. And it was a Tuesday night in about February, and we were both deep in the relegation fight. And it was like, you know, it was a classic sort of six-pointer. And I think we won 2-0, but what's always remembered is that a striker scored for Sunderland where he scored one, and then he had one ruled out. I think it was a foul on the keeper. And everyone was like, oh, this guy's brilliant. You know, he's like, he's a hidden gem. And then I think 2 weeks later, we had Liverpool away and he got subbed on and then subbed off about 20 minutes later because he looked like a competition winner. And I always remember that the hype after that Birmingham game when he scored, it's, oh, he's going to be brilliant. And, you know, it just didn't work out that way. But no, I mean, yeah, I just remember there always being pretty close games. I remember usually looking to get a point or getting edged out at Birmingham. I think in that same season, I think we drew 2-2 and we scored a very late equaliser. And again, that was scored by a striker who, I think it was Stern John, I think he was at the club for about 6 months and then we sold him again when we got promoted. But yeah, come to think of it, there's just lots of very random Sunderland players who've kind of had the big moment against Birmingham and then just disappeared. So I guess that's something when I think of
Stern John, Birmingham, the Premier League. So,
Stern, I mean, John, yeah.
Yeah, play for both of our teams. That is a random one, isn't it?
It is,
scores against his former club and then does really just nothing much else.
Disappears, yeah.
And in terms of sort of Saturday, what sort of style can we see Sunderland playing in? Because Wayne Rooney speaking about, you know, trying to sort of keep more of the ball with Birmingham, having this sort of no fear football, which is a bit of a phrase that's been thrown around by Birmingham fans as soon as it's mentioned by the directors. And it's kind of been laughed at now because you haven't won a game since Rooney took over. But what style of play can we see from Sunderland? Because it's on Sky Sports on Saturday, so I'm sure a lot of people will be watching.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we tend to have a lot of the ball. I think over the course of the season, I think we've averaged about 55-56% of the ball. But I mean, on Saturday at Swansea, I think we had like 72%, and we couldn't score, which was frustrating. But that's another thing, you know, we had 25 shots on goal, but only 3 on target. So it's like, you know, that was alarm bells. But yeah, we tend to get a lot of the ball. Obviously, a lot of our play goes out wide. Usually, a lot of it goes to Jack Clark. A lot of our success comes from him getting the ball out wide. And obviously, he's one of these wingers where he doesn't tend to like hug the touchline. He likes to get the ball and cut inside and either have a shot or look for kind of one of the runners ahead of him. So yeah, I think it'll be a case of we'll try and get as much of the ball as possible. I know against, in our last home game, we had Norwich, who, you know, they went 1-0 up, but I never really had any concerns that we weren't going to get all 3 points because they just didn't look comfortable on the ball. Whereas, you know, we had the ball and we were kind of making things happen. So I think, you know, Tony Mowbray said that he's not really going to change the way we play for anyone. So on that basis, yeah, I'm expecting us to kind of play our usual style, really. I think you can pretty much assume what our kind of forward lineup's going to be. I think it's going to be Jack Clark one side, Patrick Roberts the other, And then probably Roosin down the middle. And then I think we just kind of work from there, really. So, yeah, more the same from our perspective, really. Just getting lots of the ball and just trying to kind of break Birmingham down, really. And just, you know, hopefully we do a better job than what we did at Swansea.
Yeah, because that was a 0-0, wasn't it? Where sort of Swansea had 10 men quite early on, and then Sunderland couldn't really get that breakthrough. So
it was a classic case of when it was 11v11, we were all over them, but they went down to 10. And I mean, fair play to Swansea, they set up perfectly for a team down to 10 men. You know, they shut up shop, and they just, you know, nothing was getting through, basically. But then they also missed a penalty. You know, Anthony Patterson saved a penalty, so it could have been a lot worse, but it should have been better.
Yeah.
From our perspective, anyway.
Isn't that just football, though? Like, we always think that.
But the benefit of hindsight is brilliant.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Especially when you're sort of done with 90 minutes, come out of the game going, oh, yeah, we could have won that, actually. But then you forget about the sort of chance that the other team missed. But finally, just to round things off, can I grab a score prediction from you?
Well, we don't tend to keep many clean sheets, apart from last week. But, you know, overall, though, we do tend to be a bit leaky. But we do, you know, we have scored quite a few goals this season. So I do fancy us to get 3 points. I think it'll be close. But, yeah, I'm going to say 2-1 Sunderland.
A lot of the guys on the podcast said 2-1 to us. So I reckon it'll be 2-1 either way. We'll see which way it goes. But thank you so much for your time, Paddy, and thank you for chatting to me and coming on the Blues Focus channel. Is there anything you want to say before we go?
No problem. No, all the best for the rest of the season. Obviously, apart from Saturday, and then I think the return game's in February. So apart from those two match days, all the best. But yeah, just not this weekend.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time, Paddy. And,
no problem.
It's great to have a chat with you about all things Birmingham and Sunderland. And we'll have more videos coming out throughout the week and next week covering the game. And make sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, and keep right on.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.